Morning. We appreciate the things that have transpired thus far. I mentioned many times before, one of the blessings of being a minister is we get to view the congregation and we get to see the bride of Christ and the beautiful congregation this morning. Deeply rooted and connected to each one of you in different ways. And so thankful again for your presence this morning. We thankful for participation in the song service, Brother Luke's humble prayer, and we celebrate with the moms as well. To have my natural mom here, what a great blessing that is. As you've heard me express before, it's a bittersweet occasion at my house. And, I'm sure it is at many of your homes for different reasons, but I thought about, you know, that I talked about this morning with a little coaches group that a coaching friend of mine has a devotional every Sunday morning, and I usually join in and participate. We're talking about a commercial Bear Bryant did one time. He got that nickname for wrestling a bear at a carnival or circus or something. And, I remember a commercial he did for South Central Bell back many years ago. He died in 1982, the same week as my uncle Jeff Myers. But on that commercial, he said, "Have you called your mama today? I sure wish I could call mine." I do beg and in your prayer this morning, the time I stand before you. The subject I have on my mind this morning is very beautiful. As many times as I've expressed before, too, that I may not present it in such a way that it would be of great benefit to you, but I trust that I will, Brother Luke, that the congregation will be fed, that you will be, I want to stir up your pure mind with remembrance. I want you to go home like Bereans. I want you to go home and search the Scriptures to see if these things are true. You ever heard it said before that a man who cannot read, or a man that will not read, has no advantage over a man who cannot read? How much time do we spend reading God's Word and meditating upon the Scriptures? If you'll turn with me this morning, I'm going to begin in the Song of Solomon, beginning in chapter 2, and read some of the first few verses here. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under the shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I'll skip down to verse 10. My beloved spake, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. And, of course, I'm about a turtle dove. That's what I want to speak to you about this morning. I've tried to speak on eagles before. Those of you in my age bracket may remember one time a precious elder by the name of Brother Harry Bridgman came to this church, maybe the annual meeting, and preached on honeybees. And if you still have a copy of that sermon, I'd love to get it and listen to it again. But I love nature and the things of nature. It teaches us so much. And you have said before, you know, if you go out into God's creation and don't acknowledge the existence of a supreme being, I don't know what's happened to you. I ride my bike a lot. My goal is to ride 2,022 miles this year. And I'm just a little shy of 870 miles right now. Pretty much ride the same route all the time. And along that route, you know, there's some things that are less desirable than others. There's some thistles there along the roadway. There's hills. But, you know, I remember a song one time says that God gave us mountains so we learn how to climb. You know, they're sometimes the wind is contrary. One thing that annoys me greatly is, although sometimes I ride my bike out there and there are trustees from the Lincoln County Jail picking up trash, I go back ride back there the next week and there's trash thrown beside the roadway again. But I focus upon the beautiful things in nature, the wildflowers and the sunshine, the blue skies. I prefer it when it's low humidity. That always helps a lot. I'll see red-tailed hawks. And, I'll see doves on the power lines. And they rise up, my fair one, come away. The winter is past and gone, dear friends. And aren't you thankful for that this morning? I always love spring. I don't tolerate summer real well, but I mean, well, summer or winter for that matter. But we'll go back to the book of Genesis this morning. In Genesis, about chapter six, before we want to first look. In Genesis chapter 6, this is an amazing, I don't know how much time you spend thinking about Noah and the building of the ark. All that went into it. You know, I thought about this morning as I was reading over this earlier. You know, I know there's several in this church that have three children. I thought about Brother Russell and Sister Sandra. Their three sons and their wives. And I thought about Brother Joe Young. They got three, but the Conleys have three. And I thought about, you know, I have three. And others I'm sure I'm overlooking right now, but I thought about, you know, with Brother Russell and Sister Sandra, if they were, their sons were married but no children yet, the Lord told them to build an ark. Oh, Brother Russell, build an ark for the saving of thy household. You realize when that ark came to rest on Mount Ararat that there were no other people on the earth. Wouldn't it be terrible to think about if just your immediate family was all there was on the earth? But this was God's design. The heart of man was on evil continually during that time. And I feel that way about our nation now. You know, I've been keeping up with the Supreme Court ruling and information that leaked out, quote unquote. And the reaction of women in particular, men as well across this country, in reaction to perhaps Roe versus Wade being overturned. Friends, the thoughts of man are on evil continually. But we find a lot of parallels in Scripture. And you find where, I've heard it said before by many elders, that the Old Testament points toward Jesus Christ. Read with me in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Make an ark of gopher wood. I don't know exactly what gopher wood is. Somebody said maybe it's like cypress. I don't know, but the Lord gave Noah specific instructions on how to build the ark, what size to build it, what to build it out of, the purpose for building it. And Noah worked for 100 years. We know that they were on the ark for a year and 10 days. Now, some people say the calendar back then was 360 days in a year. I don't know, but it said in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month and the 17th day, they came under the ark and it began to rain, and the fountains of the deep broke apart and the water was flooded. We know that he told them to go forth from the ark on the 601st year, if you read in Scripture, on the second month and the 7th and 20th day. On the 27th, that wouldn't be February 27th, I don't think, Brother James, but they were on the ark 110 days. All these animals in there. I can just imagine the thoughts that they entertained. But he said, build it. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. You know something else is made out of wood? The cross that the Son of God was nailed to. That was made out of wood. It said, rooms shall thou make in the ark. John chapter 14, verse 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. I've heard my earthly father say many times that he believed that the ark was a type and shadow of the New Testament church. They pitch it from within and without because there's some things in the world that have no place in the church. There's some things in the church that have no place in the world. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, it says, the window thou shalt make to the ark, and in the cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof. And I love what he says in John chapter 10, verse 9, I think. John chapter 10, verse 9. He told Noah to build a door in the side of the ark for those animals to enter, for them to exit at some point, Brother James. And But in John chapter 10, verse 9, it says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter therein, he shall be saved. I don't know if it's talking about eternal salvation right there, but he says, and he shall go in and out and shall find pasture. You imagine the destruction outside of the ark when it came to rest on Mount Ararat? I don't know about the population of the world at that time, but it was pretty great, I think. All those people had drowned. All the other animals except those in the ark had drowned. Unprecedented in the history of the world. We know it'll never flood again. Oh, it'll be some localized flooding, but it'll never flood like this again. But we know the end of the world now will be, it would burn up with fervent heat. In chapter 7, verse 1, it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Give an invitation. You better load up. Come into the ark. And what did he say in John chapter 11, verse 28? Another invitation that come unto me, all you labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Enter into that ark. Now we get into Genesis chapter 8. I'll look at about verse 6. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. He sent a raven first. Now, we think about a raven being a crow. A raven is not a crow, but they're first cousins, at least. They're close. Raven's a little bit bigger, but we read about a raven, they're a mischievous type animal. They're omnivorous. They'll eat anything. They're very playful. They're very intelligent. You ever seen a crow flying and you'll see blue jays or mockingbirds kind of nipping at his tail feathers through the air? And that crow just, whatever they call that call they got. But a raven is not a really good animal. But he sent it out. It didn't return. You know what a group of crows are called? Ravens are called? It's called a conspiracy or an unkindness. You ever seen crows or ravens, how they kind of hop around a little arrogantly on 2 feet? They kind of just bounce around. And they will take food and they will hide it. And if they know they're observed, when they're not observed, they will take that food somewhere else and store it there. They're a group of ravens. I mean, the crows is called a murder of crows. I like what I have here this morning before me. It's a flock. It's the Lord's children. It's the Lord's bride of Christ that we have gathered before us this morning. But now that, read a little bit further. He sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. Sent forth a dove. A dove is an interesting animal to study. I live in a really good community. I have bad neighbors one day a year. On the opening day of dove season. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all must have neighbors like me. They hunt right there in the field beside my house. I don't tell all that, but I've done some hunting in my lifetime. I don't think I can shoot a dove. That's just me. But I'll have pellets hit my metal roof and shots begin firing right after daylight. Just as soon as enough light to see these birds flying to that field. You know, a group of doves is called a duel. It's a French word that means dove. The class, or family, I think it is, Columbidae. That means, Columbia means dove. Its first cousin, its closest kin is a pigeon. A group of pigeons is called a flight, or a flock, or a kit. But you'll find if you read Scripture, the raven is an unclean animal. The dove is a clean animal. When the raven left Noah's ark, it never returned again. Now we know the raven, we don't know if it was a female or a male raven that Noah released. But eventually those two got back together. We have ravens on the earth today. I wonder how he selected a raven and a dove. What went into the thought process there? I'm going to give you some. I love studying this. It fascinates me. I try to dig deep in the Scriptures because I know there's nuggets of gold there that will benefit us greatly if the Lord will help us to understand these things. But that dove, said, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the earth, of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into him, into the ark. Renaissance artists have depicted what they envision that to look like. Friends, that dove did not find a place in this world. You understand me? The Bible says that, I remember Brother James Isaac preaching on the world here one time, that phrase, the world. You know, we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's people in this world, even in the religious world, that think that God loves everybody and it's up to us to choose him to have eternal security with him. Friends, I don't see it that way in God's Word. He chose them the covenant of grace before the world began. I don't have time to get into those scriptures this morning, but I thought about that dove coming back. But I'm going to tell you this morning, friends, there are things, if you're a child of God, there's things in this world that you really can't enjoy. We know, as we were taught over in Hebrews chapter 11 about Moses, that there is pleasure in sin, but it only lasts for a season. You know, in John chapter 17, verse 9, I think it is, the Lord says this, I pray not for the world, but for thine that thou hast given me. And I think it's out of the world. Maybe, for, I don't know if it's really written there or not in that particular verse, but I pray not for the world. Said God so loved the world. He said, I pray not for the world, but for those that thine has given me out of the world. And friend, this morning, we got a lot of, one thing I love about coming to Union, we always got a lot of young folks here. And I can't stress it enough. I mean, I ended up at Antioch last week. One of my heroes from childhood, one of my favorite quotes from him, he said, seek success and happiness in the world, and you'll never find it. Seek the wisdom and obedience of Jesus Christ, and happiness will find you. I tell you time and time again, as I look back over my life on this earth, there are things I wish I could do again. I wish I could hit the rewind button and go back and do it differently than I did it the first time. And every time, every one of those things that come to my mind from time to time, that's a thorn in the flesh to buffet me. I want to push that rewind button and go back, but I realize that every time there were things that were contrary to God's Word and contrary to the teachings of my wonderful home, my natural home, and my church that I've been blessed to be a part of all the days of my life. I encourage you, keep coming to this church, friends. Why did that dove come back to the ark? There was a refuge there. There was safety. I don't know how he conveyed to that dove exactly what he wanted to do, but he reached out and I don't know, my phone's an amazing thing. It created problems for me when I was a school administrator, but I love my phone. And I'm not on social media, but if I want to hear doves coo, I can do it on my phone. If I want to hear doves leave the ground flying, I can listen to it on my phone. This dove came back home. And then Noah reached to grab him. Generally, doves don't like to be handled. But Noah reached forth his arm and brought that dove back into the safety of the ark. That raven never returned. A raven satisfied in the world. It's an unclean beast. What does Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it goes on in verse 2 to say, be not conformed to the image of this world, I've heard Brother David Pyle say one time that, you know, if you remember the elect family of God, there's some things in the world you just cannot enjoy. You don't find much pleasure. And there's always a feeling of guilt that just weighs heavily on your soul when you engage yourself in those activities. It says, be not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, acceptable and perfect will of God. But he pulled that dove back into the ark. You know, doves, it's really the male that does the cooing. I tell you, a group of doves is called a duel. Don't ask me to spell it. I'm not sure this morning. It's a French word. It means mourning. Some people think that's why they call a mourning dove. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Not a mourning like when the sun comes up, but a mourning like weeping and wailing and lamentations. But the cooing is done by the male primarily. They drink water differently than most birds. They drink more in a sucking motion. They don't have to tilt their head back to let the water go down. They have extraordinary vision. They're strong in flight. They fly about 55 miles per hour. Psalm 55. Go read it. David said, oh, that I had wings of a dove. I'd fly away and be at rest. Lo, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. There were times that David wanted to get away from the pressures of this present age, of the time in which he lived, and even in our lives today. I encourage you to get away sometimes and meditate upon the things of God. They have great homing instincts. If I had a pet dove and I took it to whichever one of your house that lived the farthest from me, it'd be highly likely that bird could fly back to my house. I don't understand that, but that's the power of God. That dove that left that ark didn't have a place to put its foot. Now that old raven that left, he could eat on decaying flesh that was submerged in that water around that covered the face of the earth. As far as the nest, the dove, it says the male gathers the materials and the female builds the nest. When they usually have two eggs, and if predators don't get those two eggs, most of the time the mother will incubate those eggs through the night and the daddy through the daytime. Nutrition. You know, sometimes you heard somebody say they eat like a bird. They eat like a bird. And when we use that in our contextually, we refer to they don't eat much. They don't have a huge, and I like some of us. But a dove will eat 20% of its weight every day in seeds. They're monogamous. They mate for life. That sounds like it's got something to do with Scripture, does it not? That should be the goal in life. The same companion all the days of your life. Unlike many of the birds, they produce dove milk. The mother and the father produce it. The male and the female dove produces it in the crop to nourish a young child. That it's called a squab. That baby dove that is only there for about 14 days and is able to live on his own. And they can have six broods per year. But a dove's lifespan is only 1.5 years. They're not here on earth very long. I think about a luna moth. I love luna moths too. I don't see them very often, but they only live a week. They're not equipped to eat anything. They don't eat the whole time they're on earth. I love seeing them. Sometimes you see them around the ball field at night and in the fall at a football game. You'll see those luna moths up in the lights of the stadium. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned to him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in unto him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. A dove is a symbol of a lot of things, and a lot of it emanates from Scripture, dear friends. But a dove is a symbol of love. It's a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of spirituality. It's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of optimism. It's a symbol of renewal. It's a symbol of purity. And other things we could probably add to that list. But it came in and had an olive leaf plucked off. Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth, and he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth a dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. And like I said, you'll find, can you read me just a little bit further? On that second month of the 20th day of the month, in the 601st year of Noah's life, was the earth dried, and God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Go forth abundantly and multiply. From that point, the Lord has blessed this world and very fruitful, and we multiplied greatly upon the earth. Go with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Solomon. Bear with me just a minute, I turn there. You know, Brother Mike Ivey preached on some of this out at the Amen Association just recently, but chapter 5 begins like this. I come into my garden. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb, wine with my milk, drink abundantly. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. I'm skipping some of this. We go down to verse 3. It says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? It says, Open to me, my sister, my love. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Think about these things in Scripture. Think about that dove coming back to the ark because there was no rest in the earth, in the world. There was no rest. There was no place to put the sole of his foot. You continue reading, it says, verse 5, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. That's what Brother Mike was preaching on out there at Milton Creek. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul fell when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. I don't know how far along that dove was gone. I don't know how far it flew trying to find life upon the earth again, that the Lord had revitalized his earth that he had created and he destroyed with water. Now he's going to not create it again, but allow it to flourish again. But they have homing instincts, and they were able to come back home to the church. Friends, I believe from the depths of my soul, if you aren't gathered with the saints of God somewhere on Sunday morning, where you believe in your heart that the Lord's name is exalted above all names, and that your soul is satisfied. You need to be there every Sunday morning. You're not going to find comfort and peace in this world. You're going to have to come back to the ark, if you will. You got to come back to the body of Christ and receive the blessings that flow from the throne of God, having fellowship with the saints of God. And that's what he was talking about here, that he delayed somewhat. He delayed to the door when his beloved was there. And then when he went to the door, the beloved was gone. I couldn't find him. Verse 8 says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. That means love sick. I miss him. This morning, a lot of you miss your mothers. I have at least two precious sisters that I get the wonderful privilege of preaching to from time to time that have been married for quite some time. and want to have children extremely bad, and the Lord has not blessed them with children yet. I won't call their names this morning, but I ask you to pray with me. I know they'll be good moms. I know they will be. But the Lord is able to open the barren womb. He's done it in Scripture time and time again. If you go read God's Word, there was a lady one time 90 years old, had a baby. You believe she was actually 90 when she had that baby? I do. I believe she's 90 years old when she conceived that child. Go down to verse 11 and 12. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves. By the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. Washed with milk, white eyes, bright. They were fitly set. They were focused. You know, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout all the earth to see those who's fully committed unto Him. He searches out the heart. He knows His children. He calls them by name. He made the stars and He calls them by name. He knows your name. Isn't that wonderful to think about this morning? There's a song in the contemporary Christian world, He Knows My Name. Brother Doug, that humbles me this morning. And you know what? I believe my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before my mom and daddy named me what they named me. I believe. You know, in Scripture, we find a lot of things about animals. In Hosea chapter 11. In Hosea chapter 11, we find this. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. He said, I taught Ephraim how to go by holding his arms. That means taught him how to walk. Don't you love that, parents, grandparents? When that little son or daughter, grandson, granddaughter is first beginning to walk, they come bouncing to you and they just stumbling, and hoping to get to the finish line, and you reach out to grab them. Oh, I taught them how to walk. He said, I laid meat upon them. I gave them food to eat. But yet their heart was bent on backsliding and serving other gods. He said, oh, when Israel was a child, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. But they were bent on backsliding after all that I'd done for them. He said, the Lord shall roar like a lion, and they shall tremble. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt. Or as a dove out of the land of Assyria. You know, a dove is easily frightened. Easily frightened. I don't know how, I didn't study, I didn't look up how many times the heart beats per minute. But that's some interesting things to look at too. But I don't know how far that female dove flew to try to find a land and a place to sow for a foot, but she realized she couldn't find it. But you didn't have any problem getting back to the ark. I invite you to get back to the church. Mostly I'm not even talking to you this morning. You're here. If you're not in this church on Sunday morning, you're somewhere else in church. Most of you are here. And I thank God for your faithfulness. And I can't give you better advice than to seek out the ark. Fly back to it. Come back home. Brother Mac, there's a lot of folks who grew up with me and you in this church. They don't come anymore. Does that mean that heaven will not be their home someday? I don't think so. But it concerns me that they're forfeiting blessings as they live upon the earth. But there's safety here. The Lord said, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter therein, he shall be saved. And if he go in, when he go, he will, shall go in and out and find pasture. I don't think I've ever seen a person. I've seen a little bit of arrogance sometimes among some of our people. Some of our ministers seem to be a little bit arrogant, but I look through that. But I don't think I've ever seen a spiritual person that I didn't enjoy being around. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 11, it says, "We all roar like bears. We all mourn sore like doves." I may have to turn and get the rest of it. I apologize. Isaiah 59, verse 11, I think it is. Let me get there and read the rest of that real quickly. Hope it's Isaiah 59, 11. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For our salvation, but it is far off from us. And Matthew chapter 10, I think it is, maybe verse 16. The Lord tells His disciples that, "I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Those doves want to be loved. They want to be nurtured. They want to be safe. You know, throughout history, we doves have been used in many different ways. There were times centuries ago where when doves and pigeons were had the same value as draft horses. Because there was no mail back in those days. There was no United States Postal Service or FedEx or all these other things we used to deliver packages. Because they had those homing instincts. They could return, they could fly to a destination and find their way back home. They had a great value in that. Again, they could fly hundreds of miles and return. I mean, one time we had a hunting dog that... my uncle lost him over on the Mississippi River, somewhere over around Port Gibson, somewhere over there. Fayette, I think it was, Jefferson County. And that dog came back home after several weeks. That blows my mind. That just amazes me how that can happen. They used to put, years ago, centuries ago, they used to put doves into the grave of martyrs of the saints, martyrs that were saints that were martyred for the cause of Christ as a symbol of the resurrection. I mentioned Renaissance artists painting these things. Picasso named his daughter Paloma, which in Spanish it means dove. You know the song the 12 Days of Christmas. That was a lot of religious instruction in that song that parents taught children. I'll go through the whole song, but that five golden rings, that referred to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible written by Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Four calling birds, it made reference to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Three French hens, that made reference to faith, hope, and charity. The Bible says in Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "And now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity." Two turtle doves, that referred to the Old Testament and the New Testament. That turtle, you know, it's called a turtle in Scripture, but we're not talking about a turtle. Yeah, I looked up, have you ever heard a turtle make a noise? I Googled that. It says they can. I didn't listen to it, but it says they actually make a little hissing sound or something. I've never heard a turtle make a noise, but that's a turtle dove they're talking about. But it can draw its neck back into its shoulder cavity, and that's the way it sleeps. You know, a lot of birds sleep with their head under their wing, but a dove doesn't do that. A dove just draws it back. So we call it a turtle because it kind of pulls its head back into its body cavity, I guess you'd say. I think where I was, dear friends. The Old Testament and the New Testament. And then the partridge in the pear tree, it made reference to the Son of God. To the Son of God. There's a difference between the partridge and the quail. I did a lot of quail hunting with my daddy and uncles and kin folks back in the day. We just walk. When those quails took off, Brother Dennis, it would scare me. I was just a little boy walking with Daddy and some of my uncles and different ones in my family. The partridge in the pear tree. He said a partridge is notorious for fighting for its chicks or its children. Baby partridges. That sounds like something, the scriptural connection there. He said, what do you say? No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down for the sheep. I don't know why a pear tree. I don't really know. I didn't look to see if partridges eat pears. I don't know, but I know that man was nailed to the tree. Loved his children so much that he gave his very life at 33 and a half. Age 33 and a half, Bible scholars tell me he laid down his life for his children. I remember hearing one time about a famous performer that who had two doves as pets, one named Majesty and one named Divinity. That's what he named those. He died at a fairly young age, and those birds wouldn't sing anymore until they played his music, and they would begin to sing again. We sing some old songs here at Union Church. We've been singing these songs since I was a little bitty boy. Same songs. But they still resonate with me. They give me a desire to do like that dove that couldn't find a place for the sole of his foot in the world and came back to the safety. Until there come a day when the earth was replenished again. He was able to bring back an olive leaf and stay there 7 more days inside the ark. And on that day, the Lord had come forth from the ark, and they came forth. He invited them in. He shut the door behind them, and he invited them to come out once he had restored order to this world as he saw fit. One of the verses I want to read to you in closing this morning. Is it in the right place or not? Psalm 74, verse 19. Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. I read Gill's commentary on this, and the turtle dove there refers to the church. Lord, deliver not the turtle dove. Do not deliver my beloved. As I read to you from the Song of Solomon. Go back and read that again in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. This turtle dove here is making reference to the bride of Christ. Don't deliver my bride back to the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. We're living in perilous times. The Bible says that in the last days, perilous times shall come as man becomes lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. May we never be that fall into that trap. I tell you, a dove only lasts only lives about 1.5 years. But when I see a dove, I think of spiritual things. He said, Lord, deliver not my turtle dove, my beloved, back to the wickedness of this world. I trust that when the Son of God comes back, as He promised that He would, I would love to know that some of my descendants would still be gathering here at Union Church from time to time to praise His name, not finding a place to put your foot in the world, but a place to come into the fellowship of the saints. And I trust we've been, the ministers and the leaders of this church, the older members, the adults in the congregation at that time and as they are now, would reach out just like Noah did and pull that dove back into the ark. Friends, there's peace here. There's refuge here. Oh, it's good to be here on Mother's Day. It's good to be here on Easter Sunday. It's good to be here on Christmas Day. It's good to be here every Sunday. I said, Brother Mickey, you're not here. But no, I'm not. But I'm somewhere. I'm somewhere. I want to be in the service of our Lord. And I want you to be as well, young people. You'll find rest in your souls here. You'll find love. You'll find encouragement. I trust if you got anything out of what I tried to preach this morning, you give the Lord all praise, honor, and glory. But go home and study these things. They're beautiful. Sometimes I feel like I get up here, Brother James, and I don't present them in such a way that it's of great benefit. But oh, when I read it, and the Lord reveals it unto me, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm encouraged. And I think about my God. Do you want to see Him? I know you do. We want to get a glimpse of Him while we're here this morning. That's when we came to hear His Word proclaimed and set our affections on things above for a little while. But I trust the Lord will bless you as you leave this place this morning, as you gather with your mothers. Do they know you love them? Express it. You don't miss the water until the well runs dry. There's some Hall of Fame mothers in this church this morning. A lot not here that are traveling in different places. And there's been some Hall of Fame mothers in this church all the days of my life. And I thank God for them. Those mothers like those partridges that will give up their life for their children. May the Lord bless you this morning and throughout the events of this day. Thank you.